Joining us now, he is the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is as positive a development as I could have possibly thought of during this offseason. It's like anything. It's time for Mike McCarthy. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Jason. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I got to start here because obviously the transition from wherever you have been to now, you are now in your hometown. When you first got there and you were doing your introductory press conference, did the Steelers put you up in a hotel or did you go into your childhood bedroom and sleep there each night?
I'm not sleeping in my childhood bedroom because my parents have moved to a different area of the neighborhood, but I'm definitely I got a better bed today than I did 40, 50 years ago. So,
By the way, we know how funny you are. We've experienced it firsthand. We still to this day, every trade deadline year, we bring up your deadpan. Oh, is the trade deadline today? I thought it was next week. Joke, which was among the greatest moments in press conference history. But I was disappointed. I thought your line about dog years in your press conference was really good. You got no reaction. Was that the biggest disappointment of the press conference?
No, I wouldn't say that because my focus was really just trying to get through the press conference after the way it started. So, I think it's like anything. It's, it's the first time. Being with the local media, and I'm sure they have to get used to me, and definitely I'll have to get used to them.
What has it been like? I mean, obviously you did get extreme. You didn't even get into your opening statement without getting emotional. We all knew that was going to happen. Those of us that know you, but now that things have settled down a little bit, and you're into a rhythm, and you're building your staff, and you're getting ready for the season, what has it been like since the news broke?
I mean, since the news broke, it's been surreal, frankly, just to be back in Pittsburgh. As I sit here talking to you right now, I look out my office window at the Monongahela River, and directly across from my office is the neighborhood I grew up in. So I can see the neighborhood of Greenville from my office window. So that part is surreal, just to drive down Greenfield Avenue and, on the Second Avenue, across the Hot Metal Bridge to work every day is, because these are the streets that I grew up on. So, that part has just been absolutely amazing. But it's football. I mean, I'm loving every meeting that I jump into. We're putting together a playbook on offense. Defense is doing the same. So, just getting acclimated to the new facility. We're doing some things from an IT perspective that is kind of normal. That every staff goes through when you go into your new opportunity. So just enjoying every moment of the startup that goes on when you try to build your program, and obviously trying to take advantage of all the great things that have gone on here in the past, and then obviously putting together your program and to build your culture, the draft meetings, get ready to go to combine on Monday. So just enjoying every part of the football because this is what we do as coaches.
Mike, how much different is it than when you had your first job in Green Bay? With obviously the technology and artificial AI and all of the stuff that everybody is going through, but is it still basically, how much similarity is what you're going through now in comparison to what you did back in 06?
I think definitely, it is different. It's a lot different. But I think the core, the fundamentals of what you're trying to build, from a message perspective, because back in 06, for me personally as a head coach, I mean, these are, they were ideas. It was an idea of how you plan and how you build a system. Now, 18 years later, from being a head coach, these are systems that work. You're presenting systems of how you do things, and you always have one or two, sometimes three ways of accomplishing anything that has to do, whether it's the grading system, the evaluation of post-game, the teaching environment you're trying to create today is definitely a lot different than what we had there in 06. So that part of it's different, but I think the core and the fundamentals of what you're working every day to accomplish is the same.
And Mike, you brought back a lot of our old friends. You got Campy, you got Bloke, how fun has that part been when you've been building out your staff? And I know you're bringing in different ideas, but to bring Campy and some other folks from Green Bay over to Pittsburgh, a lot of folks in Wisconsin are calling it Green Bay East. I know that's not the case, but nice to have Campy and some of those guys back on your staff.
Oh, definitely. No, we're loving it. I mean, it's just like anything. These friends for life that I was able to bring aboard. It means the world to me. Just for them to hear all the old stories and now to see actually where it happened has been funny. They're not only great people, they're great coaches, and it's exciting to build something new but still have the lessons that we learned, particularly in our time in Green Bay.
Mike, I'm curious why it was important for you to keep coaching, right? Like, you could have just said, all right, I've had a lot of success. I've got a great family. I've got a great life. Because this obviously is different, but there were some other teams that were interested in potentially hiring you as well. It's special because it's home for you. But overall, why did you want to keep doing this?
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, Jessica and I had plenty of time to talk about what's next, and definitely super comfortable in our life in Green Bay. We love it there. That's our home, and four of our five kids are born there. So, that part will never change. but I'm laughing because she kind of hit between the eyes. She just said, "Hey, if you want to do this, it's great. Obviously we're in full support, but you're not getting any younger." So I just think that that wasn't the biggest factor. But I just wanted to look at every opportunity and would have been very content, staying right where I was. Because every opportunity is different. I mean, to grow up here in Pittsburgh and think you're go on to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys, I didn't dream about that. But now, this opportunity just seemed like, something that, I had to do or was meant to be. Because, I never in my wildest dreams, thought that Mike Tomlin would retire. And this was an opportunity based off of history that I thought was well past me. So when it did come available in the conversations that led up to the interview, I just felt like this was something that was meant to be. And our family is just, beyond blessed and fortunate to be back in Pittsburgh, with my parents and my siblings, at this point in my parents' life. And for my youngest kids to experience this, and I think the older ones have a higher appreciation for Pittsburgh. The younger ones haven't experienced it, as the older ones have. So this is just something that's come together for us on a personal level. That's just it's been incredible for us, and we're really looking forward to every day that this opportunity brings. The good Lord has blessed me so much, and this is definitely icing on the cake.
Talking with Steelers head coach Mike McCarthy on Wilde and Tausch. All right, so Tausch and I were obviously really excited for you. A lot of people that care about you and love you were excited for you. It's a great story. What's the challenge in Pittsburgh? I did notice that while you mentioned, historically the Steelers have hired a young coach, and he coached there for a really, really long time, and then when Chuck Knoll or Bill Cowher moved on, they hired another young coach, and then he coached there for a really long time. I mean, I'm sure you could coach into your 80s if you want, but...
What are you trying to say, Jason?
I'm saying that he's not a young coach, which I heard him say earlier. But I, there weren't there. It appeared that there were some Steelers fans that weren't excited as Tausch and I were about you being the new coach. So what's the challenge here for you, and how do you view, you know, making this more than just a great story of local boy makes good, but you go out there and you get them another Lombardi trophy?
Well, I think like anything, you know, once the press conference is over, I mean, it's time to do the job. And that's just, you know, frankly, how I've always approached this profession. So, and that's where I try to, you know, pour all my energy into until I talk to you and you ask me these type of questions. So
he loves drama. Coach, he still loves drama. Telling you, all he cares about is drama. You know that.
Well, I knew it was coming, so I can't say I was surprised. But I'm just going to go with the dog ears, you know, mindset, and maybe look into some anti-aging supplementation or something. I'm not really worried.
Cryotherapy, some of the cold plunge.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm loving it, and trust me, I got more than enough energy to go as long as the good Lord wants me to. So, yeah. So it's a great opportunity. I've prepared for this, and have great confidence in what we're doing here, how we're doing it. Art Rooney and Omar Khan have been awesome. Everything I thought they would be. So, you know, hey, we're coming together. We're forming our partnership, and it's just like anything. This NFL is about opportunities and what you do with it. So, we're just getting ready to compete, and you know, it's about winning the world championship and putting the seventh Super Bowl trophy in the case. So, that's what the focus is.
You went world championship. You didn't go worlds. I know you love when we used to bust your chops when you gave your first speech in front of us in 06. You said worlds, and then we all started wondering, you know, if we had to go to Jupiter or to any of the other planets. And I think we got a lot of good runway out of that, Coach.
Yeah. Well, I'll get it cranked back up again. You know, I just need to be around the Pittsburghies a little longer, and The time will get a little thicker, and my accent will come back stronger than ever. So I don't want to disappoint Mark, that's for sure.
That's nice of you. Mike, what do you think on the quarterback spot? Because obviously you had a great history with Aaron. You have a young guy that you're probably very excited about. There's going to be some free agents. There's draft picks. And I guess when you're evaluating and looking at it, as a first year, you know, your first year in Pittsburgh, how do you kind of approach which road you want to go down? Or is it you're just going to be very variable depending on how everything shakes out?
Well, I just think it's like anything. When you put together a playbook, the part about building the offensive system to make the quarterback successful, that'll never change. I'm not naive to the fact that we could be playing with a first-year starter as opposed to a 20-plus-year starter. And that's really how deep each and every conversation goes. And when you talk about play design and play entry, we had one this morning on a play action play. And I said, if Aaron's here, we'll run it this way. And if it's Will and the young guys, I said, we'll run it, you know, another way. So, I mean, those are the kind of conversations you have, and you got to, you know, it's all about having a plan that's proactive and its approach, and it's, you know, all the way down to technique of how you're going to play with, you know, this group of tight ends as opposed to some of the tight end groups I've had in the past, you know, offensive line, defensive. And so, I mean, that's why it takes the amount of time that it takes, especially in year one when you're building your system, because, you know, you definitely want to make sure you know your current players, because at the end of the day, the men that are under contract today are going to have the biggest impact on our success, you know, this coming season. But you also want to make sure that you have you have everything in place for this young draft class. We have 12 picks this year so far, so we're gonna have a very, very large draft class. So, you know, those are the things that we're looking at, and that applies directly to the quarterback position.
So, Mike, what can you give us an idea of what the process looks like for finding out if Aaron wants to be back, if he, you know, where things kind of go from here? You said why wouldn't you want him back in your opening press conference? But I'm curious, you know, you went through the Favre process of, you know, not him deciding whether to play or not for 3 years. He retires in March of 08, and then I don't remember what happened after that. There were some kind of crazy things that happened, I think. I've kind of blocked out that part of my memory. But how does this work with Aaron moving forward?
I think it's like, you know, all your experiences in life, and I mean, they're assets, and it just really always points back to, you know, healthy communication. So, and there's definitely has been that. And we'll see what the future holds. But, you know, we're definitely preparing for both scenarios.
Has he told you that he's at least interested in doing this?
He's going through his, you know, his normal off-season routine. He's been doing some skiing of late, which I didn't realize he was into that. I don't want to put out his personal business, but no, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Just, you know, it's the same conversation I just had with Cam Hayward the other day. I mean, these guys that have played a long time. Mark went through at the end of his career. I mean, there's definitely a decompressing period that goes on for the older guys, and that's where we are.
Well, if I recall, of
Mike,
the
how
end
much
of
do
March...
you miss? How much do you miss Wilty's questions? Like, don't you miss? Don't you wish he was, you know, just coming out there and just asking you, just pestering the heck out of you? You miss that?
Yeah, I'm sitting here on this conversation. And I've looked up every time Jason talks. I look at the clock. I don't know why that keeps happening. But
you got to sip water. The new thing is the coaches will take doesn't matter if it's a special teams coordinator, they'll drink water to make sure Jason knows, hey, it's like an egg timer. Get to the point.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know if that'll help you.
That's not good when your host is telling people to sip water, Jason. I'm just letting you know.
It's important to stay hydrated, Mike. That's really what I like to emphasize. All right. We'll get you out of here with two more questions. One, the Packers, your old team, is looking for a special teams coordinator. Obviously, you guys hired Danny Crossman, who's done it in the league forever. But whether it was you, whether it's Ben LaFleur, Mike Sherman before that, it is hard to be consistently really good on special teams in the NFL. Why? Why is it so hard, Mike?
Well, I just think it's the way I think you look at roster development. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of these special teams coaches, experience, I think, is a huge factor in special teams in our league. Just the coordination, between the game management and the situational calls that, high majority of them, are on special teams. So the training is a component that, obviously, you go back to Mark's era, you have less time with the players. I mean, I don't think you can honestly sit here and think if you have less time in training that, certain aspects of the game are not going to be affected. So I think that's definitely one that has been affected. I think the fundamentals in certain areas have been affected. I think offensive linemen are held to the biggest challenge of developing young players. So I think all those things kind of add up, So, yeah, I mean, special teams is an important part of the game, obviously, particularly when you play in an outdoor climate. I mean, I definitely view it differently, not differently, but, I think it have a different focal points when you're coaching in Green Bay or you're coaching in Pittsburgh versus being an indoor team in Dallas. So I think there's a lot of variables that you have to look at, and, and I do. I think when you have less training and you're a young football team historically, some personnel rosters believe in carrying, one or two special teams players, maybe as high as four or five, or just playing with your younger players. So, I mean, there's philosophy that plays in this too. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of variables you have to look into when you're trying to define where your team is as far as their special teams and how you can improve it.
All right. So you said once the introductory press conference is over, it's time to get to work, and that's what you've been doing. But I am curious. We were trying to figure out if we can put you in the Packers Hall of Fame while you're still coaching the Steelers. I didn't get a ruling on that yet from the folks that decide that, but obviously you'll be in there eventually. I am curious, whether you're driving home across that bridge or you're coming back here, whatever it might be, have you had a moment where you've just thought, holy cow, since we don't swear on this show like you could on McAfee, I've coached the three probably most iconic franchises now in football history, in the Steelers, the Cowboys, and the Packers. Does that, like, how hard is that to believe for a kid from Greenfield?
I mean, it's been very, very evident in my thought process. I didn't think much about it before because I've always been, you know, taking the approach of kind of just keeping your head down, you know, and trying to focus on, you know, the next opportunity. But I have thought about it a lot. I think it's probably part of where I am in my life, you know, being around my parents at an older age. But yes, I think about it quite often. But the problem is my drive's only 8 minutes. I never thought I'd live closer to work than I was in Green Bay, and I've accomplished this by a good 6 or 7 minutes. But so, you know, so the rides are shorter. But yes, I have thought about that, and just can't tell you enough how super, super blessed I am for these three opportunities.
Well, I'm disappointed.
Mike, how excited are your parents that you're home, and are they going to be bummed if and when you decide to move out?
Oh no, it's it's been comical on certain levels. It's cool. I mean, you know, the first week they were getting up having coffee, you know, with me, but then, you know, then the 5 o'clock, you know, 5:30 got a little challenging for them. But we have tea every night. I've never drinking this much tea in my life. So it's really nice to be able to spend that time with them. And, you know, I went to church with them last week. So just, you know, just doing things you only get to do periodically in the past, and then be able to do it every day. But, you know, we had, you know, my first night after 10 o'clock, you know, I was working and you know, I walk in the door and they're like, where the hell have you been? I mean, it's 10 o'clock. Where have I been? I've been doing this for 30 plus years. And they're like, God, I didn't know you worked that late. So, we've been.
Mike, the meatloaf's cold, man. I had meatloaf.
Yeah, I know. I got to know. You know, you need dinner. You don't need dinner. You need to communicate. I, you know, so I said, all right. We'll get that part.
Awesome. So,
It was good to be home, and I didn't make it a week without getting in trouble. So it was nice.
Mike, we appreciate your time. I was disappointed we didn't get to walk your property this off season like I have in past years, bringing you your Starbucks at 5 in the morning. But good news. I think Tausch and I are going to road trip to training camp. We're going to do the show live from, I don't know if it'll be your office or the sideline of practice. Are we welcome?
I think it's still Rolling Rock, right? Oh. Isn't it up in where the Rolling Rock is, right? Isn't that where Pittsburgh does their training camp?
Yeah, correct. Latrobe, Pennsylvania. St. Vincent's. Right? You know, it has the St. Norbert's feel to it. Yeah, you guys will love it up there. I'd love to see you there. That'd be awesome.
Mike, I got to tell you this before you go, though, because I don't know if I told you this off air. Jason last year couldn't go walk your property because he had plantar fasciitis, and he ended up getting Doc to go meet him at his kid's school while Jordan Love had busted his thumb up, and the Packers are probably waiting on Doc to get in there to give him a report because he's evaluating Jason's plantar fasch in the back of his car at a high school parking lot. I figured you'd like that story because it's true.
I'll tell you, I mean, you know, just some things never change. I mean, it's Jason's the priority. That's good to see you've been able to sustain that for decades.
Jason. It always has
been. I've been well aware, and it's annoying. There's no doubt about it.
Mike, we're so excited for you, and we can't wait. I mean, it would be fun to come and see you at camp. We'll see if we can pull that off. But regardless, we're really excited for you and really happy for you, and we'll be pulling for you. You know that throughout the season. And don't be a stranger. I know you're going to miss doing radio and TV because you really were. The fact that I used to drive you crazy with Rogers on Tuesdays and his show with me, and then you replaced him on that show. The irony of that was not lost on me. But, man, you were good. You loved that. Did you enjoy that?
Oh no, I did. I just really enjoyed Pat and the whole crew there. They made it easy. It was a lot of fun. Yes, I have to, you know, apologize for my negative attitude towards you for all those years. I actually enjoyed my 1 year in the media. So it was a lot of fun. I have a lot of respect.
He enjoyed it so much that he was getting back into coaching.
He went right back to coaching.
That's how much
lots of Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, enough said. This was a no brainer. So it's been awesome.
Good
to be
luck,
here.
Coach. Best wishes to everything you're doing. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet. All the best, man. Keep in touch. Take care.
That is Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike McCarthy on Wilde and Tausch.
I just love the fact that he's living with his folks. I mean, that should be somebody should be chronicling, like, just imagine a head football coach comes home at 10 p.m.
and where the hell have you been?
His mom's like, the meatloaf's cold. Why didn't you call to tell me you were going to be late? Here's your tea. Can you see Mike drinking a tea with, like, the little dainty
with his pinky out? Yep.
I just, man.
So
crumpets,
much for Pittsburgh,
like,
macho.
Wow. That is awesome.
We'll have less sleep and we'll be grumpy.
This is why I wanted to talk to him, because that was the number one thing. I'm really curious what it's like to be back home, because we all went through that, right? Like, you did that with Denny and Diane when you came back from college, or like, it's a different, and he's doing it. He's 63 years old and he's coming home late from the office. Like he was out on a date or something.
That's a sitcom waiting to happen. I know he's got ball on his mind, and like, that's where his head's at. But that, I mean, just think of the blessing that he's gotten to. And I think you could feel it in his voice that he's able to spend this time with his folks at that age. That's awesome.